dealing with John chapter 5 and the witness of men. The witness of Christ, the Spirit and the water and the blood. It bears witness to Christ, the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the three witnesses that bear a witness on the earth. And then it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And he that believeth the record that God hath given him hath the witness in himself. And I went over to this verse of scripture, these few scriptures that I read today, and looked at them Wednesday night. And I got to thinking about this witness of Christ, bearing witness of Christ, and looking at Christ. And John's gospel, you know, speaks of Christ and his lordship, his glory, his deity. He speaks of Christ like nobody else does. And he did that in his little epistles. In fact, he said, if a man brings any other doctrine to you than the doctrine of Christ, don't even bid him Godspeed. Don't let him into your house. Don't even do that if he comes with something else. So he was... And he talked about bearing witness of Christ. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is bearing witness. And we want to talk about the witnesses of Christ. And here in verse 31, look what it says. You know our Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about witnessing. And here's the first thing he says. Talking about witness. If I bear, he's speaking to Jews now. He started back over here in verse 17, and he's speaking to a bunch of Jews, and he's been dealing with himself being equal with the Father. And then he comes down to talking about, now you've heard me say how I'm one with God. I'm one with the Father. And in fact, they said there in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And so our Lord comes down to talking about witnessing. Witnessing. And he says this, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And our Lord is talking to them, according to the law, their law, Moses' law, that a mere man, he knew that just witnessing of himself wouldn't be acceptable. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything must be established. And when he says, if I witness of myself, my witness is not true, that means it's not valid by your standards. What I say is not valid by your standards. You got to have more witnesses than just myself. But outwardly, to human eyes, our Lord Jesus was just an ordinary man. Nothing extraordinary about him except his claims. And to believers now, what he says is true. That's the only witness we need him to what he says is true. And as a man, he is true. But he said up here in verse 44, look what he says here. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only? Now you know in this world in which we live today, men are very, very keen to bear witness of themselves. Men love to talk about themselves. And they really, really like to talk about their opinions, their feelings, what they think. And they call them talking heads. And they, you know, everybody's got an opinion about something. And the higher up you get, the more opinions you got, and the more people ought to pay attention to. But when men bear witness to themselves, this is one of the things they say. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I remember a fella, he's gone now, but he was a character. But anyway, that's what he did. He went over here to Tansy one time. He wanted to look about buying a piece of property. And they didn't wait on him quick enough. And he said, don't you know who I am? I can buy anything here that I want to buy two times over. And because you ain't waited on me, I'm leaving. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know about my education? This is what people do about their bearing witness of themselves. Don't you know what position I have? Don't you know the influence? Do you know how influential I am and what I could do for you? And how I could, if you had me in your church, it would be a sight how I could bring folks, and I got such influence, I could fill your pews up for you. Oh my. In fact, I told you about Wayne Boyd, that man and woman that he had known for years was coming to his to hear him preach, and finally his wife told Wayne's wife, because they are so educated, says, he's just not educated enough for us. Just not educated enough for us. That's why they said about our Lord, where did this man get this learning? Where did this man get this learning? Where did this man get this wisdom? And then when men bear witness of themselves, and that's why you can't, when a fella will start talking about himself, just go somewhere else. Leave him to talk to himself, because if he's going to talk about himself, he's going to talk about himself to himself. Just let him talk to himself. But oh, don't you know what I've done? Don't you know what I've accomplished? Oh my goodness, look what I've accomplished in my life. Oh my goodness, I've accomplished this, I've built this, I've accomplished that, and I've built this, and I've done this, and I've done that other thing. Don't you know where I'm from? Don't you know my daddy and my granddaddy? Oh my. I was talking to some folks, and you know what their reason for going to the place they went? Because they're the same educational level and same social economic level. In other words, they're as smart as I am, as socially acceptable as I am, and make as much money as I do. That's the three reasons they gave for going to where they go. Christ wasn't mentioned, the gospel wasn't mentioned, the truth wasn't mentioned. That's men bearing witness to themselves. And oh, I tell you, one of the worst things that they say now is that people think this, and I'm not belittling anybody. People say, well, don't you know I'm really a patriot? Everybody ought to be a patriot in America. Everybody ought to be patriotic. But that being a patriotic and being in the military does not cut nothing when it comes to being before God. Does not mean nothing. Ain't that right? I got the flag flying now. I got two of them flying. But that flag, that's for my benefit and anybody else's. But it's not for God's. God ain't paying no attention to that. And oh, and they'll tell you, boy, I should really be recognized. Oh, I tell you what. And people get offended. There was a preacher here that him and his congregation used to come all the time. He still pastors the same church. And he told some folks, he said, the reason I didn't ever go back is because the preacher, Brother Donnie, didn't recognize me. He is here for several years. He didn't recognize me. He didn't recognize who I was. He didn't say, there's a priceless pastor from such and such a place, and he'd be coming. But our Lord said, I don't even bear witness to myself. If I do, my witness is not true, because it's not according to the Scripture. Not according to the Scripture. But to believers, His Word is true. But He says in verse 32, look what He says. There is another, John 5:32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness he witnesses of me is true. There's another person that bears witness of me, and I know that what he witnesses about me is true. And he's talking about John. Look what he says there. You sent unto John. You went to John. You went to John to find he bore witness to me. You went to John to find out who John was. They went to John and said, are you the Christ? Are you that prophet that should come? He said, no, I'm not. He said, you know what I am? I'm nothing but a voice crying out in the wilderness. There's coming one after me who was before me, who had preferred before me. See, he bore witness, everything he did bore witness to Christ. And he said, I'm not worthy to bow down and loosen his shoe latch. He said, I'm not that Christ. And then he says this, he told a bunch, he said, listen, you can't receive nothing unless he gives it to you from heaven. He said, I'm just a voice of the bridegroom. The bridegroom, I'm telling about the bridegroom who's going to come. He did not talk about himself. He talked about Christ who was before him. He called him the Lamb of God. He called him the bridegroom. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. And the more he increases, the less I'll be. And that's what he said. He said, he's the one whom the Father sealed. And he said this about our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Father hath given all things into his hands. At John, boy, every time he opened his mouth, he was bearing witness to Christ. He said, I'm just a forerunner of him. But look what our Lord said here in verse 34. But I received not testimony of men, from man. I don't need a man to testify. Well, look what he said. But these things I say that you might be saved. And what he's saying, I receive not. When he says, I receive not testimony of man, he says, I don't seek it out. I don't grasp after it. I don't have to have recognition from a man. Just a mere man. I don't have to do that. He said, I made myself of no reputation. He said, when I come among men, there was no beauty about me that they should desire me. And he said, I don't seek to prove my words by John. I don't need to prove who I am by what John said. I don't need to prove what I've accomplished by what John said. I didn't seek to prove my words by John or any mere man. My word, our Lord Jesus said, is sufficient. But he said, it's for your sake I give you these witnesses that, look what he says, that you might be saved. Now this is what our Savior said. I don't need John's witness. They needed John's witness because they sent unto John. And John bore witness of Christ. So that left him with, he said, I don't need John's witness, but you're the one that needs John's witness to say that's the Lamb of God. And John came to prepare the way for him. And then look what he says here in verse 35. But he was a burning and a shining light. Oh, while John was here, he burned. Burned with zeal. Burned with love. Burned with the truth. Burned with the scriptures in his heart. He wasn't afraid of any man. Them Pharisees would talk to him and he said, how in the world? They said, if you don't repent, said the wrath of God's going to be on you. He was not afraid of man. He was a voice in that wilderness crying out. And oh, he said he was a willing and burning. And he shined. Oh my, everywhere he went, he shined. The shining light. And oh my. And this is what, do you know, this is what it means that if you, our Lord said, he that confesses me before men, I will confess them before my Father which is in heaven. That's exactly what he's doing. He's bearing witness to John. John confessed Christ everywhere he went. John confessed Christ. He had disciples that followed him around. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, said, follow him. And said he was a burden. And our Lord said, because John confessed me and honored me and glorified me and spoke of me and was a shining light of my truth, a shining light of the scriptures, a shining light in the truth and in how he dealt with men, and burned after zeal and burned with passion for me and burned with passion for the truth. And he said, I'm going to confess him. I know that if I got any light, it has to be through Christ. But I wonder, what kind of light we are. Do we burn? Do we burn with any zeal? Do we burn with love? Are we like those disciples who said our hearts did burn within us? Do we shine as lights in this world as the gospel? Do we shine as lights with truth? Do we shine as lights in love, in grace, in kindness, in forgiveness? Are we burning in love for one another? Do we burn in love with the gospel? Do we burn in love for Christ? Oh, I tell you, John said that our Lord, and if our Lord, what's he going to confess about us? And that's why he said, you know, Paul said this, awake out of darkness, among whom he shines as lights in the world. Oh my. But he sent unto John. He was a burning and a shining light. And look what he said. And you were willing for a season, for a period of time, to rejoice in his light. Willing for a time to rejoice in his light. And here's what he means by that. As long as John was popular, as long as John was out there preaching, as long as John was living, as long as he was popular and had a bunch of crowd to follow him at, before he was put in prison, he had a great following. But boy, when they started put in prison, they started fading away. Huh? Oh my. And you know what? Herod, the scripture said Herod, he called John up there and called him a holy man and called, said, I heard him gladly. Heard him gladly. And then he is the very one said, go take his head and bring it to me. So they were willing for a season, willing to rejoice in him, willing to brag on him, willing to follow him, until he was put in prison. And that's like these stony ground hearers. People will hear the gospel. They'll hear the truth. And all of a sudden they said, man, that's wonderful. I love that. And then trouble arises, persecution arises by and by. And they get offended. And then they quit. They go away. He said, because of persecution, because of the word. They're just stony ground hearers. They got no root in themselves. They got no root in the word, no root in the scriptures. And our Lord said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And how in the world are we going to know we're disciples indeed? Continue in his word. Continue to believe his word. And then look what he said in verse 36. Oh, he had John. For John bore witness of him. My witness is not true if I just bear witness of myself. That's the standard that you go by. And he says, John bore witness of me. And he says in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. What is it? The works that I do. The works that I do, which the Father had given, listen to this, which the Father had given me to finish. He gave me some works to do and to finish them works. The same works that I do, they bear witness of me. These works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me into this world. The Father sent me into this world. And oh my, his works, oh his works. Look over in John 10 with me for a moment. John 10:25. You know, his works bore witness of him, and that's where those people are going to really, the people that saw his works and saw his miracles, you imagine what it's going to be like for them at the judgment. But look what he said here in John. They said in verse 24, his works bear witness of him. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. Now listen to this. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look down verse 37, John. If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. If the works that I do are not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, though you believe not me, believe the works. If you don't believe me, believe the works. Look at the works that I do, that you may know and believe that the Father's in me and I'm in him. Now let me give you seven things about our Lord's works, several things about our Lord's miracles. There was a number of them. They were very, very many. Oh, he said many, many, the very many works that he did. Oh, he said they call them very many. And then their greatness. They were mighty in nature. You know, he went up to, you remember when he went up to the pool of Bethesda? People's laying all over the place. And at this time when the water was troubled and whoever got in there got healed like that. Well, our Lord walked by there. There's a man been laying there for years and years and years. And he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" There's people everywhere, but he just spoke to one man. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, "How can I? No man will put me in the pool. All he can think about, nobody will get pick me up and put me in that pool." Our Lord Jesus said, "I say unto thee, arise and take up your bed and walk." Everybody there saw that fellow get up and walk. That's a miracle. That's works. Oh, and listen, look in John 9:32. Look what he said in John 9:32. This is something that our Lord did that, oh my, this talking about the greatness of his work. He says here in John 9:32, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was burned blind?" It's since the beginning of the world. Now, since time began, nobody's ever opened the eyes of a blind man, born blind, and was old when he opened his eyes. Nobody's ever done that before. And oh, nobody ever raised a dead man that had been dead for 4 days. But our Lord Jesus Christ did, and there was a multitude standing there. "Lazarus, come forth." And oh, who else could walk on water but the Lord Jesus Christ? Those disciples were in a storm, and there our Lord Jesus come walking to them in the middle of the night. And just stepped up on the boat. Just stepped up on the boat. And one time they was in this great, great storm. And the Lord Jesus, to show you that he was a man, was tired and weary and he was asleep. And they got in this horrible storm. And they come and woke the Lord Jesus up and said, "Master, Master, don't you care that we're fixing to perish?" And our Lord Jesus got up and showed that he was God. He said, "Peace, be still." And everything, you've got just as calm and quiet. And it's peaceful. And oh, one time he fed over 4,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Another time he fed over 5,000 with bread and fish. And one time, he's talking. And then they took up 12 baskets of fragments. They had 12 baskets of food left over. And then what about the time that our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he would look at the people and just speak to them and things would happen. Just speak his word and things would happen. Oh, what a blessed man our Savior was. God and man. God and man. And not only were their number great, and not only were they great in themselves, the very many in the number, and then they were great, and they was done publicly. They were all done publicly for everybody to see. Lots and lots of witnesses before many, many witnesses. How many people do you reckon that he witnessed to? That people witnessed to him? How many do you reckon? And our Lord, even when he healed a leper, you know what he done? He said, "Go to the law." He said, "My work can be examined. My miracles can be examined." And all they were done publicly for everybody to see, many to witness. And then their character, the character of his works. They were works of love. They were works of love. They were works of mercy. He said, "I'll have mercy and not sacrifice." They were works of compassion. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? He fed them. What did he do? He made them to sit down in the green grass. What did he do? He fed them when they were hungry. And they were helpful. I mean, beloved, they were, when people were in trouble, they had these great needs, and our Lord Jesus Christ was helpful in his works. He wasn't just exhibiting his power. Like these fellas do on TV, these miracle workers on TV, and they want everybody to see what kind of great power they have. Our Lord didn't do that just to exhibit his power. He had the power. Everybody knows he had the power. And I tell you what, their direct appeal, they had a direct appeal to man's senses. I mean, they were visible. Everything that our Lord Jesus Christ did was visible, and everything He did could bear examination. You can examine it. Examine it. He told the leper, said, go to the priest and show thyself to the priest. You know what he said was? When the law examines you, and you being a leper, and everybody know you as unclean, now that you can go back to the law, and you can go back to and let them examine you, and the law have to pronounce you clean. The law will have to pronounce you free. The law will never, since the law can't say you're unclean anymore. You can come into God's prayer. You come into the camp. Oh my. Everything He did could bear examination. And they were not like the works of these miracle workers today. I tell you what, our Lord Jesus, and another, here's the sixth thing about it. They weren't staged. They weren't staged. Oh, people stage these things today. You know Billy Graham, I'm going to tell you this. You know when Billy Graham used to have these big meetings, what they would do, they would seat people in the congregation. So when he'd give his invitation, people would get up and start moving. Because they know if one person started moving, other people start moving. And they would manipulate crowds that way. And they thought that was, I'll get up and I'll start walking toward the front. And then everybody will start walking. They had a place seated. And these miracle workers, they got this stuff staged. They'll have people coming in the wheelchair and, they'll get up and walk out of the wheelchair and go to dancing, carrying on like that. That's all staged. I seen one time how that they had a fellow, had a short leg, a long leg, a short leg. Well, this preacher's going to make that long leg grow. What it was is that he had his leg bent just a little bit, and that fellow went to pulling on. He said, see, they're the same. And it was obvious what they were doing. But our Lord didn't stage His things. His was spontaneous. People would come to Him. When they heard that He was there, they brought those that had need of healing to Him. He wasn't strange. They, as our Lord went about His ministry, He was teaching one day, and they took all the stuff off of a roof just to let a fellow down to get to Him. Men would say, when they heard about Him being in town, they said, would you go tell Him that I've got a sick servant? I'm not worthy that He come under my house. What are you telling him? I got a sick servant. All he's got to do is just send the word and he'll be okay. He'll be all right. Oh, nothing was staged by him. And then their effectualness. You know what our Lord did lasted? If he healed a man, he stayed healed. If he cleansed a leper, he stayed cleansed. If he raised a dead man, he is alive. And they were immediate. They were instantaneous. They were complete. And they were perfect. Immediately, it said, this happened. Immediately they had it. Oh my. So His works bore witness of Him. Look what it says here in verse 37. And the Father Himself. Oh, I like what it says that. John 5:37, excuse me. Back where we was, John 5:37. Oh my, John bears witness. The words bear witness. And then look what he says in verse 37. The Father Himself. Oh, the Father Himself. He talked to Him like He's... The Father Himself hath sent me, and listen to this, hath borne witness of me. Huh? The Father Himself has borne witness of me. And look what He says, ye have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His shape. Oh my. They didn't see God in Christ. They didn't see God in Christ. And he said, he told his disciples, he told Philip, Philip said, show us the Father. And that'll suffice us. We won't ask any more information. That'll be sufficient for us. And he said, Philip, have you seen me such a long time and haven't seen the Father? For he that has seen me has seen the Father. Huh? And the witness, what are you talking about, the Father which has bore witness to me, which has sent me? Well, the Father started bearing witness in Genesis. The Father bore witness of our Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis 3:15. It's when he's talked about the seed of the woman. The Father bore witness to him in the Passover lamb. The Father bore witness to him in the ark. The Father bore witness to him in Moses. The Father bore witness to him in Joshua. The Father bore witness to our Lord, bore witness to him in Isaiah, in Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, every prophet, to him all the prophets are his witness. And when our Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, he was walking along with them there, and he took the Psalms, the prophets, and the law, and Moses, and opened their understanding all the things concerning himself. Concerning himself. And oh, he says, the Father bore witness of me, and the law bore witness of me. Every sacrifice, every bloodshedding, every priest, Melchizedek, all bore witness to me. And oh, listen, our Lord, he says, the Father, there's three times that the Father bore witness to the Lord Jesus Christ while he's on the earth. At his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized of John, the Father spoke from heaven. John heard it, and everybody there heard it. This one's been baptized. This one that's going into this water. This one whom John's going to put under the water and run, and he's going to come back up out. This one, right here. That's my beloved Son. That's who he is. He's not just my Son. He's my beloved Son, whom I delight in, I rejoice in, I glory in, and I honor him. This is my beloved Son. And not only that, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm satisfied with everything about him. And then, on the Mount of Transfiguration, oh, Simon Peter, being like me, he said, oh, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. So good. How many services you go to and say, boy, it sure was good to be here. I'm glad I heard that. And oh, he said, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. God spoke. A big cloud came down, just like it did over the tabernacle in the camp. Big cloud came down, and God said, this is my Son. You listen to him. You hear what he's got to say. Moses and Elijah's here to talk about what he's going to accomplish by his death. Huh? Oh my. And then look what he says there in verse 38. And you have not his word abiding in you. You know, he said, you have not his word abiding in you. John 8:37, if I'm not mistaken, says that they found no place for the word. People didn't have to find a place in their heart for the word. They found no place for it. And here our Lord says, and you have not his word abiding in you. He told a bunch there in Matthew 22, he said this. He says, you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. And look here, you don't have his word abiding. If you had his word abiding, you know what you'd do? You'd believe me. You would believe me. You'd believe what I have to say. Huh? You'd believe me. Look how many knots. He said here in verse 38, he says, you believe not. You believe not. Verse 44. You receive not. You won't receive me not. Verse 47. But if you believe not his writing, you won't believe Moses. Not. Three knots. Three knots. And then here's another witness. of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about witness. If I bear witness of myself. So I've got, he said, two in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word of his dad. There's four witnesses here. John, the works, the Father, and then look at here. Search the Scriptures. Look in the Scriptures. Search them. And he's talking about the Old Testament. He said, you go back and search the Scriptures. Go back and look through the Scriptures. And this is why, because they are they which testify of me. The Old Testament Scriptures testify of me. They witness to me. They speak about me. John's gone. Our Lord's in glory. We've never seen God. But we have a more sure word of prophecy than that. What authority, what importance our Lord attaches to His Word. What He's saying is there's no appeal beyond His Word. No appeal beyond His Word. And then He says, search the Scriptures. There's two things He's telling us here. He says, I appeal to you. I appeal to you. Search the Scriptures. You want to know what, and that's what they did over the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures to see whether these things were so or not. And then it was a command. Search the Scriptures. You think you got life. You think you're going to get life from them. But if you don't see what they say about me, you ain't getting nothing out of them. And that's what he's saying about you. You think, and oh my. And this, and our Lord Jesus is telling them, this is one of your articles of faith. That you say you go to the Scriptures and you look to them to give you life. But if you don't see what they say about me, you don't get any life. Because they testify of me. They tell about me and what I do. And oh my, search them. Search them. Search them. For they testify of me. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He gives life, when He gives life, you know how He gives it? Through the Word. He uses the Word as the seed, as the power. He gives the life. He says, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. They're spirit and they're alive. Our Father, oh our Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth. Oh, I bless you for thy word. Oh, thy word, thy word. Such power, such freedom, such liberty that it gives us, such comfort, such assurance, such hope. And Lord, for those who are here, that the word don't affect them that way. It don't give them hope. It don't give them comfort. It don't give them assurance. And they feel like they're outside, that they don't see Christ in the Scriptures. I pray that you'd be pleased to open their eyes, to open their heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, you take the things of Christ, you show it to them. Because all they hear is a preacher. Lord, let them hear from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the only one who can take the things of Christ and make them real here today. We bless you for your great love wherewith you loved us. Bless you for your keeping power. Bless you for your strength that only you can give. In Christ's blessed name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation. So rich and free. I'll see you tonight, 7 or 6 o'clock, God willing, and remember, no Wednesday night service.